You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of Internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network. Your voice is now heard.
This is Nagel and Knowles. Everyone has the right to feel physically and psychologically safe in their workplace. The multidimensional team of Nagel and Knowles will discuss the process for helping organizations with this growing problem that we face in our society today. From a simple lack of respect in the workplace, to bullying, to extreme violence, Nagel and Knowles will create a more healthy and harmonious atmosphere. So now, please welcome Nagel and Knowles, your workplace violence prevention experts.
We are live, and I'm Robin. So good morning to all you loyal and first-time listeners. In case you're tuning in for the first time, you're listening to me live to the Nagel Knowles broadcast on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. I'm your host this morning, and each week we focus on a different topic within the realm of preventing workplace violence, and I emphasize preventing. And today is no different, except we have a special guest, and today our focus is on the security risk assessment, workplace violence mitigation through education, and we're going to talk a little bit about active shooter preparedness. To underscore, Nagel, Knowles & Associates have a 24-week series airing on the BBM Global Network each Saturday morning from 9 to 10. Our primary team is made up of Richard Knowles, leadership and safety expert, Claire Knowles, HR and culture expert, and yours truly, security expert. Our focus is to reduce the risk of workplace violence across the entire spectrum of workplace violence. And this is stemming from incivilities to bullying to harassment to vengeful acts all the way to murder. And our passion is to be able to make a marked difference for leaders, teams, organizations, and businesses regarding their safety, security, civility, and leadership within today's workplaces. So you'll find each week as you tune in, you're going to hear one of us from the team of Nagel & Knowles behind the microphone. And each week, we tend to gravitate to an area of specific expertise. So let me set the stage a little bit better for you guys. I'm going to ask that you think of a penny, a copper penny, and consider that there are two sides of the penny metaphor description. Lincoln's face side of the penny is indicative of the people and psychological side of your organization, and the Lincoln Monument's facility side on the opposite side of the penny. That's indicative of the safety and security side of your organization, if that makes sense. Both need to be addressed when you're looking to reduce the risk of workplace violence occurring in your workplace. Next, and continuing with that metaphor, you can clearly see that there is copper in that penny. And this integrates both sides and is integral throughout, and that is the leadership component. That's the leadership effect on workplace culture. Leadership shows up in practices like these. You got level of engagement, degree of autonomy, enforcement of standards, clarity of focus, amount of collaborativeness, cohesiveness, and communications and feedback. All are key to an organization's effectiveness. And leaders are just like the copper. They impact the whole enchilada, or per the metaphor, both sides of that penny. And preventing workplace violence, we at Nagel & Knowles have the wherewithal to work with the whole penny, both the inside people interaction side and the facilities, physical safety and security side. It's who we are and it's what we do. For us at Nagel & Knowles, we look very closely at leadership. The three of us are super passionate about leadership and rightfully so. And it doesn't take much to see when an organization lacks good leadership, right? Or needs leaders to become more effective. And working with leaders is our forte for addressing both sides of the penny metaphor. So Richard Knowles is our point person for the leadership expertise that he brings. And Claire is our point person for HR and culture expertise. And yours truly, I'm the point person for security. And today, we're specifically going to focus. I picked a couple of topics. The first one is risk assessments. We'll be talking about workplace violence prevention through education and a little bit about active shooter preparedness. So today, we've invited one of my respected colleagues in the security industry, Mike D'Angelo, to lend his expertise in these areas. So a little bit about Mike. So Mike D'Angelo is the principal and lead consultant for Security Direction Consulting, LLC. Mike is a board-certified protection professional, CPP, a board-certified security consultant, and a board-certified healthcare protection administrator. He's been in the public and private sector for well over 30 years. And before becoming an independent security consultant, Mike worked in healthcare security management for almost a decade with one of the largest hospital systems in the Southeast United States. Originally, Mike transitioned into security management after a progressive and successful career in law enforcement. He's a retired captain from the South Miami, Florida Police Department. And Mike is also a published author of From Police to Security Professional, A Guide to a Successful Career Transition. That book is available on Amazon. If you're making the transition, you got to check it out. And there he chronicles the steps he undertook during his own transition and the resources to professionals following a similar path. He's a regular contributor to the Journal of Healthcare Protection Management and has been part of interviews for several notable security publications like Security Management Magazine, where he was interviewed for his highly acclaimed active shooter response plans for hospitals. Mike consults for a variety of industries in both security management and workplace violence prevention and education. He also provides forensic consulting as a security expert for both plaintiff and defense attorneys in matters surrounding negligent security and premise liability. Mike's education includes, he has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Social and Criminal Justice from Ashford University. He's a graduate of the prestigious Southern Police Institute's Command Officer Development course from the University of Louisville. And Mike's professional affiliations are American Society for Industrial Security International, as is, International Association of Professional Security Consultants, International Association of Healthcare Security and Safety, and Forensic Expert Witness Association. So as you can hear, Mike has a very diverse background and certainly a respected professional in our industry, which lends plenty of credibility to the work that he does. I'll also add, which Mike won't share with you, he's a gentleman. He's a consummate professional. He's serious about his work, and he has a great sense of humor. Mike has a charismatic and infectious personality, which makes him a pleasure to work with and be around. And I just had to throw that out there. It's a pleasure to know Mike. So without further ado, let's bring in Mike now to the broadcast so he can share with us why his passion is so ignited in the security realm and a little bit about his journey that inspires his expertise and leadership in the security industry. So good morning, Mike. You there?
Yes, Robin, I'm here. Good morning to you, sir.
Good. You ready for this?
Absolutely. I'm honored to be here this morning with you.
Awesome. All right. So, Mike, first, Dick and Claire wanted me to make sure that I thanked you for coming on the show. I'm personally excited about sharing what I call a nerve-wracking experience with a fellow peer. And so why don't you go ahead and show up? We're going to come up on a commercial break here in a little bit, but go ahead and start and talk about your journey. And then when after the commercial break, we'll come back and continue with that. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your journey.
Sure. Well, when I retired from a 23-year plus career in law enforcement, I realized I had a lot more life in me, if you will, and a lot more that I could do to give back to the community. And I was pleasantly surprised to find out that the security industry actually has a wider reaching grasp and bigger influence than law enforcement does on proactively protecting things. And I wanted the chance to work from that proactive side after two decades of being reactive.
All right, good. And how do you feel you made the transition?
So far, so good.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of peers and other folks making the transition that give you a call?
Yeah, it's good to know that there are other people struggling through the same thing, and I'm able to provide some guidance and assistance for them.
Awesome. All right, so listen, we're going to take that short commercial break, Don't forget, you're listening to us live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio, and we have a live call-in number if you want to talk to me or Mike. The number is 866-451-1451. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. My name is Robin, and you're listening to the Nagel Knoll Show on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back, everybody.
Jenny Friend is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a certified clinical sexologist, commonly known as a sex therapist, with over 30 years of experience in the field of sexuality. She's been a researcher and teacher and is further trained in human development over the lifespan. She's also a published author and a radio personality. Her specialized training in lifespan developments means she can help individuals, couples, and families through difficult developmental phases. Her primary ways of working are through the tools of cognitive, behavioral, and psychoenergetics theories and techniques. Couples, individual men and women, and families are also welcome. She can meet in her office in Costa Mesa, California, or on the internet through Skype at JennyFriendMFT. Call 714-210-9200. You can also send an email from her website at www.centerforclarity.org. That phone number again is 714-210-9200.
Attorney Renee Marie Smith is changing the way we sell real estate. She wrote a series of books called My Short Sale Guru Guides for all real estate practitioners. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to understand the process, an agent who has been handling short sales for years, or an industry analyst wanting to know how short sales impact your business, Renee uses her vast real estate experience to take a comprehensive look at the recent market phenomena while relaying it in an easy-to-understand format. Through her company, Smith Title Services, Renee has counseled thousands of short sale participants and processed in excess of 1,000 short sales. Her knowledge is transformational for real estate professionals and laymen alike, and her live presentations provide people the opportunity to ask specific questions about their issues. Buy her books and schedule her to speak at your next event. Visit www.smithtitleservices.com or call 305-705-3428 or email her at renee@smithtitleservices.com. Isn't it time to sell your property today? Learn the My Short Sale Guru way.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. My name is Robin. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Nagel and Knowles broadcast, your workplace violence prevention experts, and we're live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to call in. We have a live call-in number if you want to talk to Mike or I. The number is 866-451-1451. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns you want to make throughout the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. All right, so before the break, Mike got into a little bit about his transition, and we are going to keep rolling here. So, Mike, I first want to point out that it's important that people understand that a proactive and holistic approach to prevention is critical to help mitigate risk. I'm sure you'll agree with that.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to be throwing out some terms here this morning, and I want to make sure that some of the listeners are familiar with the terminology. So I'm going to give you a couple of definitions here around this topic. So the first one is a vulnerability. So what is a vulnerability? This is a risk. It's a weakness or a gap in your protection efforts. That's a vulnerability. A risk is the potential for loss, damage, or destruction of an asset as a result of a threat that exploits a vulnerability. And a risk is the intersection of assets, threats, and vulnerabilities. So to help bring that a little bit clearer, just imagine three circles for a second here. The one circle is the threat, and then overlap the asset circle, and then overlap the vulnerability, and then the center of that is what the risk is. That's kind of what I was trying to illustrate there. And then the formula is asset plus threats plus vulnerability equals the risk. Mike, I want to dive into the first topic of discussion here with the risk assessments. So help me out. What exactly is a risk assessment and what is it comprised of, Mike?
Robin, a risk assessment is an analytical calculation of everything an organization, no matter what size, currently has in place to secure their people primarily and their assets, their physical assets secondly. And that starts with what you're doing right now. It's not an automatic assumption that you're at ground zero and need a brand new security process. You may have policies in place. You may have physical security countermeasures already in place, but you're not really sure where you sit in today's environment.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, and I've talked about this before. So it's important to do a risk or vulnerability assessment to find out where you are now, because you can't get to where you're going if you don't know where you are now, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so what are they designed for, Mike? What are risk assessments specifically designed for?
Well, once you've determined what you're doing good now and where you may be lacking, where your vulnerabilities may rest, it's time for decisions to be made. And the decision makers could be CEO of large multinational corporations or the family owners of a mom and pop storefront. And the decisions are, once you recognize what risks your business or organization faces, then you sit down and determine your vulnerabilities and where you decide you're going to make the changes. There's no expectation that a consultant such as myself comes in and tells you need to do A through Z, and you immediately adopt A through Z. Some of these risks will be ones you're willing to accept, and others will be ones that you're willing to invest some time and money into fortifying.
I got you. All right, and so who needs one, Mike?
This is the part, Robin, of the industry that's really changed in the last few years. And I know we're going to talk about workplace violence and active shooter a little later on more in depth. But just the media coverage alone tells everyone that the landscape of who's at risk now has changed dramatically in recent years. We used to think these types of risk assessments were for large organizations and businesses with hundreds of employees and multiple facilities. And the reality is, any organization can benefit from this now. We see risk assessments being conducted at apartment complexes, warehouses, not just large organizations that are considered vulnerable and may have assets that are of high value.
All right, I got you. And so once I have one done, once I have one conducted, you know, what do I do with it? Is this a one-time exercise?
It needs to be initially completed, especially for any organization that's never undertaken the entire process of having a security vulnerability analysis. And then when you go from there, it's a combination of the consultation with the expert and the leadership of the business. Is it something you need to repeat every year? Not necessarily, if there hasn't been any dramatic physical structural changes to the facility or reorganization of the staff or the way the organization does business. But from year to year, if there are significant changes, either physically and architecturally or in the way the company does business, then it may be time to reevaluate and get the security vulnerability analysis updated.
All right, so that kind of leads me into, so how often should I have one conducted? So you mentioned, you know, if there's a change in the business, a change in the landscape, design, then it's time to have another one conducted?
Yeah, and certainly if we see any arising threats that once weren't part of that landscape, if something's becoming more prominent that could impact your specific type of business, then it's time to invest in taking that assessment again.
Gotcha. And so it's important to remember that assets are not just your business and your facility, but it's the people piece.
And absolutely, the people piece is the primary asset that any business is out to protect.
Exactly. And I always stress that if you don't recognize that people are the number one asset of your organization, then you are in the dark, is as nicely as I could put it.
And you're not likely to have employees for long.
Exactly. All right. So, Mike, do me a favor. Just cover a little bit about the components of a solid risk assessment. And I know they're huge and they could be very comprehensive, but just deliver some components of what would be inside of one, please.
Sure. And regardless, again, if this is a small business of a, you know, a single story building independently owned versus a large corporation that's got multi locations throughout the country, throughout the world, the scale of those components will change, but the steps involved in the risk assessment are pretty much the same. The consultant will spend a lot of time digging into policies and procedures and whatever the organization may already have in place. Certainly, once that's been accomplished, the key piece that most are familiar with, the boots on the ground site survey, where the consultant spends as much time as necessary with a chief executive or whoever that designee may be, and really gets a personal feel for what's in place already at that location and what needs to be done to enhance the security of that facility.
All right, good, Mike. Listen, we're up on a commercial break already. I know they come quick. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off. Don't forget our call-in number, folks. It's 866-451-1451. And you listen to myself and Mike D'Angelo on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. I'm Robin, your host of Nagel & Knowles Associates, your workplace violence prevention expert. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Do you battle with weight loss? There is a solution. Founder of Weight No More Consulting, Deborah Simons, can help you lose weight safely and effectively through weight loss surgery. I know. I had the surgery 2 years ago, and I am 135 pounds lighter and medication-free. This full-service weight loss center caters to your every need as you navigate to a healthy weight following surgery. Servicing all of Canada, Weight No More Consulting takes pride in its compassionate care and guides you through each step before and after surgery. Starting with informational meetings, Weight No More Consulting educates each potential client before they decide to have surgery on the health risks of obesity and the various weight loss surgeries available. After surgery, Weight No More Consulting provides a solid support system with ongoing meetings to ensure continued success. Deborah Simons and Weight No More Consulting are committed to promoting your health and wellness through maintaining a healthy weight for life.
Renaissance woman, trailblazer, maverick. Those are just some of the words to describe Tashandra Poulard, owner and CEO of House Virgo Entertainment, LLC, a woman minority veteran-owned entertainment company based in Washington, D.C. Ms. Poulard served 10 years honorably in the United States Navy and departed from active duty to pursue her dreams of becoming an entertainment mogul. House of Virgo Entertainment offers script writing, producing, directing, DJ services, editing, and more. They cater to businesses, corporations, college students, working professionals, aspiring artists and nonprofit organizations, and employ veterans of the armed forces. Tashandra Poulard is pioneering the way we view media and taking her brand global. Visit her at www.houseofvirgoentertainment.com or call 281-515-3740 and like her on Facebook at House of Virgo Entertainment, LLC.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Robin, your host of Nagel & Knowles, your workplace violence prevention experts, and we are live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We're speaking with Mike D'Angelo this morning, a security consultant, and we're going to pick up where we left off, Mike. Appreciate you covering those components. So there's a train of thought out there, Mike, that an active shooter risk assessment, which is a hot item, and rightfully so today, but that active shooter risk assessment is a standalone effort. So is it, can it be, or should it be a part of the whole security vulnerability assessment? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Absolutely. And I think the only time an organization should be interested in a standalone active shooter analysis is if they've truly been through the entire SVA process already and just want to undertake that specific because they believe there's an enhanced risk in their organization for such an incident. But the truth is, an active shooter risk assessment, just like a workplace violence risk assessment, should be part and parcel to a comprehensive security vulnerability analysis.
That's what I thought. All right, so let's get into the security vulnerability assessment itself. So what are the different types? Are there different types? And if so, what are they?
Generally speaking, you have what I call the metrics-based assessments and a custom assessments. And metric-based assessments tend to be used in larger organizations or in organizations that tend to have high regulatory oversight from either government or certifying bodies. And I think back to my healthcare days. Metrics can show where you come on a scale, and by using a metric system, sometimes that report is easier to deliver to a C-suite because they can just see that their numbers are down or up from prior years. Right. And sometimes that's the snapshot they want to know. So there certainly is an effective place for metrics-based assessments. But custom assessments are really the meat and potatoes of what I call a security vulnerability assessment. And that's where everything is catered to the specific organization, the specific property that you are conducting the assessment on. And you may not have a 1 to 10 scale, but you'll have definitive critical comments from a trained consultant telling you where the vulnerabilities lie and what countermeasures would be effective in that environment.
All right, I got you. All right, so for the listeners out there, you know, we're talking about the risk assessment and how it applies to the business. But if you think about it, you know, as parents, as, you know, men and women in society, we do risk assessments almost every day. I mean, when I'm going on a trip or if I'm going somewhere, you know, we always think through, you know, the hazards. Okay, you know, is it raining out? You know, how do my tires look? You know, do I have safety equipment and that kind of stuff? So, you know, just be mindful of that. I mean, we do it every day subconsciously or whether we know we're doing it or not. All right, Mike, so I want to transition now. We're going to talk about workplace violence mitigation through education for a bit. So I'll try to make it interactive here. I might, you know, inject some stuff. But let me just start off by saying education on workplace violence mitigation is absolutely paramount to the whole program, especially when it comes to workplace violence. So OSHA reports over 2 million reported workplace violence incidents. Those are just reported. And many others go unreported because people don't want to say anything for a multitude of reasons. So it's critical that we train our employees on the who, what, where, when, why, and how these incidents take place. So Mike, let's get into, you know, why is education on the topic so important in today's workforce?
There's a growing epidemic of workplace violence, Robin, and I'll allude back to the statistic you brought up from OSHA. The change we're seeing is those 2 million reported cases are now coming from all industries, where we used to associate incidents of workplace violence with very specific type of industries. Now the epidemic has spread to places that we've never thought of before. And you'll hear me repeat this statement several times, especially when we get into the active shooter, because it's the same epidemic. There no longer is a type of target for workplace violence. There is no longer an industry that is immune from workplace violence. It's a concern that every business needs to keep in the forefront of their head.
All right, good point. So let's talk about an organization's educational program. So if they're looking to do one or they're looking to dust it off the shelf, you know, what does a good organization's educational program look like?
Well, first and foremost, it comes from the top. It has to be backed by the leadership, both financial resources and the time to take to do the education. It must be ingrained throughout the organization's culture, and that means from everyone from top down. It cannot be a taboo subject where employees are afraid to approach their supervisor because they think they're now going to be typecasted and scrutinized for their reporting. And the training always has to involve hands-on communications, really something that people can be involved in and feel, so you get that muscle memory of how you're going to react in these situations. And staff just needs to see that this is something that's now part of their culture. It's okay to speak up. It's the right thing to do to speak up.
Right. All right. And who should receive the training, Mike? I know it's not just, or it shouldn't be just for, you know, the base employee. Who should receive the training real quick and why?
I'd like to make it real simple. Everyone from the janitor up to the CEO and all the folks in between.
Okay. And then tell me, who should be involved in the training process? Is it just like the, you know, is it the security director, security manager, or who is it?
I think it's any stakeholder in the organization, any department within the organization that's involved directly or indirectly with dealing with others in the organization. I believe that this is training that should be multi-tiered. You have employee training. You may have a different level for leadership and management. And certainly you may have a smaller, more succinct level of training for C-level executives, mm-hmm. But those discussions need to be something that flow through the entire organization.
All right, good. And I know this may be self-explanatory, but briefly tell us why it's important that it's supported by the leadership of the organization.
Robin, that's an absolute must. The resources, the dedication of time and financial resources comes from the top. The message that sends down to the rest of the staff that your leadership is taking a vested interest in your safety and security in the workplace. And an example I use, if you can think of the impact of a full-scale active shooter exercise taking place in an organization, and if the CEO even just makes the appearance of showing up to view the exercise, it sends a message of support to the entire team that's participating in that exercise. And they realize that this is important to our leader. This should be important to us.
All right, good. Mike, listen, we're up on another commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off. Don't forget the live call-in number, 866-451-1451. This is Robin, your host, and you're listening to Nagel & Knowles Associates, your workplace violence prevention experts, and we're live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back, everybody.
Are you looking for employment and live in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties? Jobs Annex is the place for you. Are you an employer looking to fill a position or quite a few positions in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties? Jobs Annex is for you. Employers, JobsAnnex.com is your resource for career-minded people. JobsAnnex.com is the convenient place for job seekers and employers to hook up and move forward. Jobs Annex has been serving Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties for over 14 years. Jobs Annex is a former employment search firm. We've evaluated many thousands of resumes, and we understand what employers want and what job applicants need to be successful in their interviews. At Jobs Annex, we provide you with the tools to tell your story for free. Our resources at JobsAnnex.com will help each applicant construct an award-winning resume, an eye-catching cover letter, and key interview questions to ask in various types of interviews. Best of all, it's free. JobsAnnex.com. That's JobsAnnex.com.
For over 50 years, Evelyn Stapula has been a loving advocate for people with disabilities throughout the state of Pennsylvania. President and founder of Big Heart Bridges, her organization actively campaigns for legislation and support of civil liberties that meet the needs of disabled individuals with housing, transportation, and employment. Ms. Stapula has joined forces with a variety of esteemed organizations that advocate for the disabled. She serves on the board of the United Cerebral Palsy of Pittsburgh and the Governor's Cabinet and Advisory Committee for People with Disabilities, and she is a consultant for the Pennsylvania Governor's Conference for Women. Her many efforts have led to the implementation of a transportation program for the disabled with the Access Paratransit System of Allegheny County. Evelyn Stapula strives daily to serve the interests of the disabled, to protect their freedoms, and enable them to live normal public lifestyles. To learn more, please call 412-491-2605 or email Evelyn at ers92645@verizon.net.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Robin, and Nagel & Knowles, your workplace violence prevention experts, and we've got Mike on the show this morning, Mike D'Angelo, security consultant, and we're talking about some good subject here. We're going to have to wrap up the last segment, but the one thing I want to cover is that training has to become a part of the organizational culture. And Dick, Claire, and I love to talk about culture. I'm not going to steal Claire's thunder because I know she's going to be talking about that in the future. So we're going to move right in to our next segment, which is workplace violence prevention programs. Now, this is the meat and potatoes of an organization's program. So, you know, pay attention. If you don't have one, or if you're looking to dust it off, stay with us here. So we're going to talk about what they are, the importance of them, and what should be included in a successful program. Now, we only have, you know, a number of minutes here, and this is a monster topic. So we're going to try to cover as much as we can in the time that we have. It's important to understand that, you know, with the increasing epidemic that Mike talked about, with incidents of mass shootings and workplace violence incidents, organizations, you've got to get ahead of the problem by having a preventive, and I can't emphasize that enough, preventive, holistic, comprehensive, multi-layered program, because there's a lot to it. Quickly, I want to cover the FBI's four most commonly recognized sources of violence. So when you're building your program, you have to understand that it's not just coming from the inside, but it's coming from the outside. So the first one, the type one, is violent acts committed by criminals with no connection to the workplace whatsoever. They just come in and they wreak havoc. The second type are acts of violence by customers, clients, vendors, or visitors against employees. The third one, violent acts against coworkers or managers by a present or former employee. And we've seen that a lot. People come back into the workplace and kill their bosses. And the fourth one are acts of violence committed by an individual who does not work at the company, but has a relationship, a personal relationship with an employee. This could be a spouse, a significant other. So, Mike, I'm going to be outlining some components of a workplace violence prevention program, but go ahead and share what you feel should be a part of a holistic and comprehensive program for us?
Rob, there definitely needs to be a written policy and procedure in place. As we know, that's the meat and potatoes of any kind of program. And again, as I've said several times, that needs to be leadership driven from the top. The reporting process involved in that policy and procedure has to be transparent and something that staff feels completely comfortable with doing. And training, as we know, to be effective and lasting, has to be realistic, relevant, and consistent. This isn't sit and watch a PowerPoint presentation for 30 minutes once every year, check a box, and say I've been thoroughly trained in the organization's workplace violence prevention program.
All right, Mike, as you mentioned, the first part of a program should be a workplace violence prevention policy. And a written workplace violence prevention policy that's been endorsed by top management, and that demonstrates the commitment of the CEO and lays the foundation for the entire program. The policy obviously needs to be aligned with the organization's mission, its values, the vision, principles, ethics. And a comprehensive policy has got to outline in writing what conduct and behaviors that will not be tolerated. And it has to be enforced. And if your organization states they have a zero tolerance policy, we hear that all the time. We have a zero tolerance policy for sexual harassment or for workplace violence incidents. You know, what does that mean? So Mike, do me a favor, share your thoughts on some of the pitfalls of just having that zero tolerance policy.
Excellent question, Rob. So many times we see organizations say we're going to adopt a zero tolerance policy, which in theory means any report of workplace violence of one employee versus another is immediately reported through the highest channels, and the policy ends in termination, no ifs, ands, or buts. The problem is too many organizations say that we've adopted what we consider the strictest policy against workplace violence, but there's nothing but black and white letters. There's no teeth to that policy. There's no follow through. Too many times employees will see incidents of workplace violence that may be thought of as rather minor, and then the employee comes back to work next day because human resource or some other department that has oversight decided we're going to give them a slap on the wrist and a warning. Mm-hmm. You're negating the value of the zero tolerance policy if it doesn't live and breathe the words zero tolerance.
Exactly. All right, so let's continue on the policy content for a minute, Mike. So the policy has got to be addressed. It needs to address threats, and these are both verbal and nonverbal. They require the reporting, the investigation, and the follow-up of all threats and incidents. They require the establishment and continuous improvement process to deter and manage workplace violence. It should encourage participation of all levels of employees in the program. It commits to treating victims of violence in a confidential and fair manner. Remember me talking earlier about a lot of incidents that go unreported, and there's a lot of reasons. They may lack trust and confidence in the system or the leadership. It has to clearly state management's commitment to compliance with the law and dealing with the incidents. And the most important factor to remember about policy is employees have got to believe and trust in the leadership, right?
Absolutely.
It takes one incident, Mike, to be dealt with improperly or not in a timely manner to lessen or ruin the credibility of the policy and those who endorse it. So having things in writing is critical. I'm sure you'll agree. But what's more critical is leadership, 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 right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we covered that rather quickly, but we want to jump into more content here. So another component of a program needs to be a threat assessment or management team. Folks use different terminology, but it's pretty much all in the same. And so this is the initial step in developing a workplace violence prevention program, is to select the threat assessment team. You know, who does that involve? So the team needs to meet regularly. They need to prepare the written reports. They review investigations. They recommend and implement employee training. And they communicate with employees. Members of the team should include, and I'll just throw some out here, and your organization is going to differ based on size, but members of senior management, operations, legal team, security, human resources, safety, and risk. These are the people that encompass that, and obviously, you know, based on their expertise, they bring value to the team. And I realize not all organizations have many business units like this. You know, as I said, the type and size of the organization is going to dictate the number of members. Mike and I were talking this morning about some organizations might be so small. There's one guy or gal that's the facilities manager, and they're wearing, you know, four or five hats. So we got to keep that in mind. We've got to be able to support those folks. All right, Mike, when you were working in the healthcare vertical, I'm sure you had some sort of a threat management team. You know, briefly, what did that look like when you worked there for over a decade?
And exactly what you just described. It was a multi-discipline team that would be a representative such as myself from the corporate security side. Certainly leadership from human resources is vital. The nursing staff leadership and any of the other departments that were specifically affected. If we were going into a specific department to do a threat assessment, then leadership from that department was certainly involved.
All right, Mike, we're getting ready to go to another commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off. Don't forget the call-in number, 451-1451. That's 866 area code. You're listening to myself, Rob Nagel, and Mike D'Angelo. We're live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
WikiWags brings harmony back into your home for male dogs and their owners. Inventor and entrepreneur Linda Jangula has created the disposable doggy diaper wraps made with the male dog in mind. The built-in wicking ability prevents rashing and other potential health issues for your dog. Each wrap comes in four sizes and has dual reattachable magic tabs for easy adjustments. And each size has a 7-inch logo strip for adjustability. So they are comfortable and easy to use. No more fuss, just leave the mess to us. Whether you're in or out, your dog will be free to run about. Stop cleaning and start enjoying your home, and you can even leave your dog alone. To order your WikiWags, visit WikiWags.com, or to find out where to buy WikiWags in your town, visit MyWikiWags.com and start enjoying having man's best friend around.
French Rastafarian baker Chef Hugues Mott is a fourth-generation baker and has worked in 11 countries across three continents. Born in Mulhouse, France, he began apprenticing in his father's bakery at age 12 and has devoted his life to learning cultures of the world from inside kitchens across the globe. He also teaches traditional French baking by hosting demonstrations and classes, and his passion for baking is reflected in his delicious confections. With a deep respect for discipline and his Rastafarian way of life, Chef Hugues Mott exemplifies commitment to tradition and culture in a global world. Traveling extensively and combining a myriad of flavors into his recipes, Chef Hugues Mott brings a unique approach to baking. To read more about the French Rastafarian baker, visit www.frenchchefhugues.com. That's H-U-G-U-E-S. Bon appetit and bless up.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. My name is Robin. You're listening to the Nagel and Knowles broadcast on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. This morning, we've got Mike D'Angelo, security consultant of Secure Direction, LLC. So again, I told you there's a lot of content, and we're not going to have enough time to cover all of it, but a couple of the other things I want to talk about. You've got, besides the threat management team, you've got incident management process, which is huge. You've got the training component. You've got record keeping that has to be maintained. So there's a lot to that subject, but we need to move on because we've got one more monster segment and one shorter one. So now we're going to talk about active shooter preparedness. So Mike, now we're going to talk a little bit about the important epidemic that we talked about earlier that's growing in our country, and that's active shooter. I've talked on previous episodes that you can find on the BBM Global Network radio. We've got archives there, and you can listen more about that. So, Mike, as you're well aware, active shooter training is very important and should be a part of a holistic and comprehensive workplace violence prevention program. I'm sure you'll agree.
Absolutely, Rob.
No, you would. And I can't emphasize enough that active shooter training and protocols need to be a part of a much larger effort. There are plenty of folks out there offering training with regards to active shooter today, and that is great. But it could be just a Band-Aid fix to a much larger vulnerability. And that's where we come into play. We always focus on the prevention methods first before we get to the worst case scenario, which is an active shooter. It's important to be mindful that active shooter training, although part of a comprehensive workplace violence prevention program, is a reactionary measure. It's a reactionary measure. And it's important. but it's reactionary. Mike, why don't you share your thoughts around this topic for a little bit? And if you don't mind, I may chime in here, but go ahead and tell us and share a few points.
I'm going to carry on with your reactionary comment. And I think the first, sometimes difficult pill to swallow is there is no such thing as active shooter prevention. I use the word active shooter planning, active shooter response training, but prevention is something that had to have taken place early on in the shooter's life and intercept whatever mental illness or drugs or whatever factors were that led the person to take these terrible steps. So we have to say it's planning, it's response, it's what will your people do when the worst day takes place in their workplace. And the other key here now to realize is no organization, no establishment is immune. Places that we thought were sanctuaries and off topic, such as schools and places of worship and public libraries and movie theaters, and I can go on forever, but in the last few years, we have seen that there is no business, there is no facility that is 100% immune from an attack of an active shooter.
Exactly, and you bring up a good point here that we always emphasize. Once an active shooter incident takes place in your organization, that all your prevention methods have failed. I mean, let's face it. Now, you may have a program, and if somebody wants to come in and wreak havoc and shoot up the place, they're going to come in. They're going to figure it out. But the idea is that you've done your risk and vulnerability assessment, and the idea is to mitigate the risk. And that's what it's all about here. All right, so Mike, this is going to be a two-part question here. So with active shooter incidents growing, how do you feel that law enforcement is adapting to the response efforts today? And then I'll give you the second question after you answer the first one, because I know you'll forget it once I give it to you.
Law enforcement has completely changed their response tactics since Columbine. In fact, we refer to pre-Columbine police response, post-Columbine police response. And the days of getting to the scene of the active shooter, establishing a perimeter around the facility, and standing by while you waited for SWAT teams or other highly trained tactical units to respond and resolve the situation, well, it just doesn't work anymore. When those incidents came to an end, there were far too many victims involved. And law enforcement as a community realized this isn't going to cut it. We can't keep doing this. We're not saving enough lives. So now just about every law enforcement agency across the country has been trained somewhat universally in what's either called rapid action tactics, rapid response tactics. And what this consists of is the first two, maybe three arriving officers to the scene of an active shooter get there as fast as they can, run inside the building, listen for the sounds of the shots being fired, run in the direction of the shooting, and immediately neutralize the shooter just as fast as they absolutely can. Will this completely prevent loss of life? Not necessarily. Because there's always a response time involved, although that too has decreased in recent years. But it will certainly reduce the amount of lives lost. And any active shooter training and response work that organizations go through should be designed to facilitate that type of response from law enforcement.
All right, understood. So here goes the second part of the question. How do you feel employers or organizations are doing with regards to recognize the need to address the growing epidemic through their training response?
We need to see more of it. We need to see organizations realize that they're not immune. Unfortunately, the positive side that has come out of recent news is that it is starting to wake up business owners and administrators of different types of venues that once thought they were immune from the active shooter epidemic. And it would be more difficult now to list a type of venue that we have not had a shooting incident at, as opposed to listing the types of venues that we have had shooters at. So it's a wake-up call that all leaders, all business owners need to heed.
All right, I know you're going to love this question, Mike. What kind of advice would you give to organizations that have not developed a relationship with law enforcement? And do you think it's necessary? And how could that relationship benefit the organization's workplace violence prevention program?
Oh, wow. Absolutely essential. absolutely essential. If you don't have, again, like we mentioned, in small businesses, you may be the one guy wearing all the hats and you become the liaison. In large organizations, you're able to dedicate someone to being the liaison that works with local law enforcement. But at the very least, they need to be invited in to your organization to, one, have a chance to review your policies and learn where they may fit into those policies, especially on the workplace violence side if you're facing a difficult termination. And on the active shooter planning side, they certainly need to be there so that they have the comfort of knowing the physical layout of the building, knowing what type of employees that building has. The last thing we want with law enforcement is the first time they enter your facility to be the day that someone is firing off shots in your facility. And if you can imagine the level of chaos that ensues in an active shooter incident when law enforcement is just trying to find their way around your business for the first time amidst shooting, it is absolutely not a desirable learning process.
Right. And you and I talked about this yesterday, too, that, you know, you want to give the keys to the city, so to speak, or the keys to the business to law enforcement, access control cards, maybe maps to the buildings, that kind of stuff. So the ongoing relationship is important. All right. We're getting ready to take our final commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue with Mike. We're going to kind of close the segment. And I know time goes by fast here, and I wish we can talk on some of these topics longer. My name is Robin, and you're listening to the Nagel and Knowles broadcast on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. And we will be right back.
Animal lover, author, artist, and public speaker, Patricia Daly Leip is a Renaissance woman in her own right. A lover of animals from a young age, Patricia lives on a farm in Virginia and has rescued neglected thoroughbred horses, keeping them or finding them safe havens. She is also a published author, and her books document real-life experiences that she shares in her passionate stories, taking the reader around the world in a colorful kaleidoscope of life. An accomplished artist, Patricia Daly Leip's oil paintings feature animals, portraits, stills, nature, and abstract, and she allows the brush to paint the image in an organic, natural way. A public speaker, Patricia is motivated to continually wonder about life and advocates for all of us to do the same and document our own unique history. To learn more about Patricia Daly Leip, visit www.literarylady.com and www.patricialeip.com or email her at pdleip@gmail.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to our last and final segment. You've been listening to us live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. My name is Robin, your host of Nagel Knowles Associates, and we've had the privilege this morning of having one of my respected colleagues in the security industry, Mike D'Angelo, on the show. Mike, thanks again.
Absolutely.
So it's a good point in the program. I want to point out that Nagel & Knowles we've created a booklet, and it's a handbook of sorts that is titled Guide to Reducing the Risk of Workplace Violence, The Absolute Essentials. And you'll find within it some of the things we've talked about today around topics, workplace violence programs, training, stopping incivilities to bullying, to harassment, to vengeful acts of murder. And you can have a free copy, I say again, a free copy by going to our website, NagelKnowlesAndAssociates.com, or just Google Nagel Knowles. It'll take you to our link. And then scroll down all the way to the bottom when you get to the website and click in the Contact Us box. Say you want a copy, provide your USPS address, and we're going to mail you a copy, and we're even going to pick up the postage. All right, now let's return to Mike for a couple minutes. Mike, I'm sure you've got a couple of takeaways you'd like the listeners to walk away with this morning. Why don't you take a couple of minutes and give a recap?
Great. Rob, first of all, I want to thank you, Richard, and Claire for giving me the opportunity to be on your show this weekend.
Of course.
I know we've covered a lot of information this morning, and we've kind of done it in a bit of a hurry. But I just want to leave a couple of key points on the three subjects we talked about. Risk assessments. Keep in mind that this was once something that we thought of that larger organizations needed. We now realize businesses and organizations of all size can benefit from conducting one. Workplace violence mitigation through education. I think the number one point we made there is you must have buy-in from the very top of the organization, and whatever policies you put in place must have the teeth to support those policies. And finally, with active shooter preparedness, if we hadn't said that enough this morning, everybody needs to have the mindset of what they would do when that worst day happens. Every business, every location has to be thinking, what if and what am I going to do?
All right, I appreciate it. So this morning we covered a lot of important topics, as Mike just pointed out, with not a lot of time. So each week, one of the Nagel, Knowles and Associates team, Richard Clare, or myself, will be here at 9 o'clock, same time on Saturdays, covering some very important subject matter that you don't want to miss. You can always email or call us for a free consultation. Or if you have a question, you want to email us, you can call us, you could text us. We'd be glad to help you guys in any way that we can. The three of us, Richard Knowles, Claire Knowles, and Robin Nagel, yours truly, we all have a presence on LinkedIn. We'd love for you to connect us there. Mike, our special guest, also has a strong presence on LinkedIn, and he's encouraged you folks out there to connect with him. Mike is a great resource, and he'd also love to help you guys out. We, as always, our team together, our time together went by quickly. I'm your host, Robin. You've been listening to us live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, www.NagelKnowlesAndAssociates, that's all one word, .com, your workplace violence full spectrum advisors. I want to thank you again, Mike. You're our first outside guest on the radio show. You did amazing. You made me look good. You made it easy for me.
I'm honored.
Yeah, and so are we. And I want to thank you, honestly, for taking time out of your busy schedule this weekend on a Saturday morning to share with us. And don't forget to get your booklet. We've got plenty of them. People that get them love them. They're quite comprehensive. And we'll mail you the first one. If you got a team and you want to get some more, you can always say, hey, Rob, I need six of these. That book was great, and we hear a lot of this. And then we'll have to talk about invoicing. So it's been a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I want to wish everybody a great weekend. My name is Robin. I've been your host of Nagel, Knowles & Associates, live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We hope to see you, hear you back here next Saturday, same time. You have a great day, and thanks again, Mike.
Listen each week for answers to all of your workplace violence concerns here on Nagel & Knowles. If you require help in your workplace setting, contact Nagel & Knowles at 716-622-6467 or log on to NagelKnowlesAndAssociates.com.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.